Hey everybody, it's Michael here with GoodyReader.com. It's April the 21st, 2012. It's been a while since we've talked to you last, and in that time, the London Book Fair has come and gone, and a lot of big announcements came out of it. Most notably, Pottermore has officially launched. You can visit Pottermore.com. You can choose your house with the sorting hat, choose your wand, and participate in adventures parallel to Harry Potter. You also can buy all of the ebooks. So it's a two-pronged approach. One of it is for the kids to be able to live and breathe in the Harry Potter world. And for everybody else, you can purchase the books. This announcement came on day one of the London Book Fair. There is a lot of news coming out of Europe these days. It seems everybody wants to enter it. You have Amazon, Kobo, a lot of major North American companies that have made digital forays into that market. Barnes & Noble has plans on entering the UK. And there's a lot of interesting statistics that emerged from Germany, Spain, and France. And it really looks like the French market really falls behind other companies or other countries. Tablets are big in France right now. There's about 1.4 million people currently using them, whereas e-readers like the Kindle, the Kobo Touch, things like that, there's only roughly 145,000 registered devices in France. Kindle and Kobo currently dominate the e-reading landscape. The French market really has lagged behind because of a lot of the subpar e-readers that have entered the market really before Kobo and Amazon did, and really jaded the clientele. You like a Cooler, Bokeen, Cybook Odyssey, e-readers like that, that don't really have the ability to purchase books on the e-reader themselves. And so a lot of people had to jump through hoops, like using their PC, using Adobe Digital Editions, and people just really want to just browse for books on their e-reader and to buy them. And that's what tablets really allow you to do, which is why tablets are so prevalent in France. The German market, on the other hand, faces a lot of challenges. Statistically, only 78% of Germans don't want to read books on a screen, while 85% say they love printed books so much that they can't go to e-readers and tablets to be able to do their reading. Now, obviously, tablets are pretty big there, and the entire German market is considered to be about 9.73 billion euros. And this is because it has one of the most vibrant publishing industries in all of Europe. You currently have subsidiaries of Random House and a ton of other companies that are there. And it's spawned local companies such as Texter, which is a friend of the show. And the big thing is just basically to try to gravitate the German country into reading on tablets and e-books. And this is very challenging for a lot of the companies there. It's simply people just want real books, real magazines, and real newspapers. Spain, on the other hand, is seeing a wider adoption of digital publishing. 75% of all publishers in Spain are employing a digital strategy with ebooks. There's an estimated 1 million tablets and e-readers currently being used in Spain, with over 300,000 e-readers sold in 2011 alone. A lot of companies, again, like Kobo and Amazon, are really hitting that market really hard. And you currently have a little bit of a tax problem in Spain, and that's sort of stagnating a lot of things. If you look at VAT prices on regular books are 4%, whereas ebooks are 17%. So it's a little bit more expensive in Spain to actually purchase digital content. There are motions in the government to lower this right now, and when it does, I think that that market will explode a little bit more. The total ebook market in Europe is estimated at about $18 million, so it's not too bad. And this was a study done in 2010. And at that time, considering that there's 18 million, million euros sold of books, there was only 90,000 books available at that time. So you could really see how that market is emerging and thriving. Some other news that came out of the London Book Fair was Audible. And they're now giving people $1 for every book sold, and this is in conjunction with the normal commissions. Audible's starving for content. So what they've done is they've released some self-promotional tools as well as ways for indie authors to be able to submit their own books in audiobook format and get them into the system. And they're really backing these sort of tools that will allow you to embed your audiobook on your blog, on your website, and other avenues of promotion like Facebook and Twitter. And people will be able to preview chapters, preview the book, and as well as direct them exactly to the Audible site where your book would be hosted, and to be able to purchase it. You can price it at whatever you want. And this is a good move because this gives a little bit of a bonus commission to authors that want to just narrate their own book. I mean, as an indie author, you really don't have to pay a professional actor. You can just do it yourself. And I know a lot of people that sort of do. In a single evening, they might read two or three chapters, take a break, two or three chapters, take a break the next day, and within a week, they have their entire audiobook of their first ebook. And because Audible doesn't really have a ton of indie authors in it, you can really stand out pretty quickly. So you want to check it out. There are new marketing tools, and you can visit audible.com for more information on that. CourseSmart is a company that is gaining a lot of traction. It's fairly popular in the US, and it's run basically by Pearson, McGraw-Hill, and Macmillan as the core group of owners. And the company very recently at the London Book Fair started to go at the UK. They're working with 25 different publishers to provide content, and students will be able to save close to 40% on going digital with their textbooks rather than buying the physical versions. You can store all of your books in the cloud so you can make highlights, annotations, notes, and they'll carry over from your tablet to your laptop and so on. The company started in 2007, so it has been around for a while. And if you're a student in the UK, you might want to look at CourseSmart as a viable alternative. They are making a lot of agreements with schools and universities in the UK to get their entire semester's worth of books into CourseSmart, so you have the alternative to be able to buy the physical versions or buy the digital versions. It's basically up to you. The last bit of news to come out of the London Book Fair was Overdrive, and they released a lot of metrics regarding library ebook borrowing, lending, and everything like that. They gave a lot of really interesting statistics on everything from the most popular genres, which of course, romance, mystery, and suspense, rounding off the top three, and the most popular books, which again, really no surprise, books by Jan Ivanovich, Explosive 18, The Help, The Litigators, The Hunger Games, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Harry Potter and a Game of Thrones. No matter what library you belong to, whether you're in small town America or Canada, you will have more or less those books always being the most popular. And regrettably, they have the longest holds and wait lists as well. We have an article on this. I'm not going to bore you with a ton of semantics regarding the statistics, but you can check it out by clicking on the London Book Fair coverage on the bottom of our blog and find out everything about it. If you're a fan of Michael Crichton, you are in luck. A lot of his backlist titles are now going digital May 14th. Books like Jurassic Park, Eaters of the Dead, Congo, and the Andromeda Strain will be for the first time in digital format. And this is good because if you really wanted to read these books in the past, you really had no alternative than to pirate them if you wanted the digital format or to just buy the books at a used bookstore. So it's good that he's starting to see the light of day and to start going with all of that. We're starting a new thing on Goody Reader about coupon codes. If you have mainly a Barnes & Noble, Sony, Kobo, we are every week going to be posting a series of coupon codes that will allow you to save a ton of money on books. And a lot of these codes are good for one-time usage. So I can use this code and then you could use that code, but we could only each use it once. So we have codes right now for Sony, FictionWise, Audible, The Book Depository, and roughly about 25 different Kobo codes, everything that allows you to save off 90% on a book, and the average code is good for about 40% off of the cover price. So you can roughly buy about 20 books and save close to 50% off if each book by using these codes. So you really want to check that out. Really lately, the big news in e-reader land was the Barnes & Noble Simple Touch with Glowlight. This is the latest e-reader to come out. It's going to be dropping in the first week of May, and you can purchase this at shopereaders.com, which is our e-reader store that we both own and operate. We can ship it internationally, so if you live in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, where Barnes & Noble will not ship their items to online, you can order it through them. And the big hyping factor on the Glow Light is it has side-facing LED lights. So the Nook Simple Touch all along has had sort of infrared that emits from like the sides of the device. So it gives you pinpoint precision. The cool thing is that with the Glow, you can now read an e-reader in the dark, and you don't have to rely on aftermarket book lights or fairly expensive book lights that are sold in Barnes & Noble stores. They're sold for anywhere between $30 and $60, where you can purchase the Nook Simple Touch with Glow, and it doesn't really cost that much more than the base model. It's not always glowing. You just basically hold down on the N button for about 3 or 4 seconds, and it'll start glowing, and you can change the emission of the Glow in your settings menu. Other than that, it's basically the exact same as the Nook Simple Touch, which is really met with a lot of critical acclaim online. It is simply my favorite e-ink e-reader, even compared to the Kindle Touch. I find that the touch screen's a little bit more responsive. I do like the menus and interfaces a little bit better. The store has a lot of different books, newspapers, magazines, graphic novels, and things like that. So it's basically just different ecosystems, but hardware-wise, you can't really get much better than a Nook Simple Touch. And now that it's the first e-reader on the market that actually will allow you to read in the dark, read in a room that doesn't really have like a lot of light, and without the glow feature, you probably know that you need a lot of light in a room in order to read it properly. And if you are lying in bed with a spouse, loved one, if you have like a book light or the lamp on, you can kind of keep bump them up, tossing and turning. Whereas with this, you can kind of face it at you and the glow won't really disturb anybody else. So I'm pretty excited about that. In other news, John Wiley has filed a lawsuit against 4 ebook pirates. And John Wiley and Sons made the news, I think, about 2 or 3 months ago when it was trying to find out the identities of 200 people in New York that were infringing on their copyrights. And this is for all the books that are for dummies. Photoshop CS5 for dummies, they estimated over 74,000 copies of their book were pirated online. And with other books, they are being pirated in abundance. And so they're the first of their kind to really go after these guys in court for digital ebook piracy. A lot of the people were settling out of court for about $750, but these 4 people that John Wiley are going after said, no, we're not going to pay the money, we're going to fight this. And if they lose, they face a maximum fine of $150,000 per infringement. So this is a case that normally falling court cases is pretty dull news, but with this could really set a lot of precedents because no really publisher has really gone and sued ebook pirates before that have been, you know, you know, downloading their things off of BitTorrent sites and file sharing sites. So this will be a very interesting case to follow, because if John Wiley wins, then you can bet your bottom dollar that more companies will jump on the bandwagon and start suing too. And this is exactly what you're seeing with the Apple case in court right now with the U.S. Justice Department. You've probably, if you're listening to the show, you're probably in the loop somewhat about why Apple and all these different publishers are in court right now battling it out. I'll give you a brief summary of basically what happened. 2008-2009, the publishers, the big six like Penguin, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, and so on, all got together and tried to figure out a way that they could beat Amazon. Amazon was buying all their books in bulk and then undercutting all the competition. It was really hard for other companies to make money. If you wanted to buy a book, why buy it for off of Sony for $13 when you can buy it on Amazon for $6.99? And when Apple came onto the scene with their first iPad, that's the first generation, they wanted to release iBooks. And so Apple started colluding with all the publishers, saying, like, listen, instead of letting stores dictate the price for books, the publisher should dictate the price for books, and this will create an even playing field. Sounds good in theory, and it's not entirely illegal, but you can see where there's like a conflict, because it's a price fixing cartel, and in Europe and in Canada and places like that, that's illegal. Where it's not as illegal as the States, but when the U.S. Justice Department started getting phone records and emails, a lot of the truth came out on all of the shadiness of it. And the reason for this now is a lot of these publishers are suddenly out of court, while Apple and Macmillan and one more company are deciding to fight it and to basically establish a fighting case. Because if they just settle, then a lot of other countries will start suing them as well. And you're starting to see this in Canada, where on 3 or 4 days after these publishers settled out of court, four different lawsuits in Canada originating in British Columbia, Ontario, and Quebec were filed. And it's the same thing. It's class action lawsuits now against the publishers that settled out of court, saying that we want our refunds on ebooks. We want some sort of equality here, because in the US, if you had purchased ebooks from iBooks from when it went up until just recently, then you're due for some credit that's going to be coming out soon. It's unknown about how much credit that you'll get. Say you bought 50 ebooks at agency pricing. Well, you're going to get a difference back, either an iBooks credit or a check. And if you live in Canada, because this was a US case, you're not going to get anything. And so a lot of lawyers and law firms now in Canada are starting to go after this now that they've settled. You know, it's saying, okay, well, the sharks are starting to circle the pool, right? There's some blood there, and people are going gangbusters after it. And so the reason why I mentioned that is coming back to John Wiley. If there's some sort of precedence being established, a lot of publishers are going to look at this and then say, we're going to go after these pirates too, because if John Wiley can do it, why can't we? So, unfortunately, there's a lot of law shenanigans going around. We cover it extensively. So, if you want to follow the entire saga, you can get into it by visiting goodyreader.com and reading all the daily news that we put up. Speaking of our website, we've done a few kind of cool new things lately. If you visit goodyreader.com, we've basically got a new web page up now, and it looks a lot better than our old version. Our old version was done in 2009, so a lot of things have been greatly enhanced So it meets the needs of browsing it on your iPad, on your tablet. Everything's very touchscreen friendly. So you might want to check that out. There's all sorts of videos and audio functionality on the main webpage. And we're going to be redoing our blog soon. If you're a user of Google Currents, which is now one of my favorite apps to read different sort of blogs, we're now on it. And I must say that it looks better than our Android or Playbook app, to tell you the truth. It's super solid. You can customize the way that it looks and functions, but I really like it. If you have an Android phone, tablet, or if you have Google Currents on your iPad, check it out, because your favorite blog looks really, really good. I think it looks better than Pulse. I think it looks better than Zeit and a lot of those other news amalgamators. So check out Google Currents and look us up there. The last bit of European news I want to get into is Kobo. They've rolled out 100 store-within-a-store concepts at WH Smith locations. If you live in Canada, the U.S., you only really have to walk into Best Buy, into a Circuit City, Future Shop, and other stores to see these store-within-a-store concepts. You have your cell phone area, you have your Apple area, and Kobo is betting on a Kobo area. And if you live in Canada, you probably have gone to Chapters bookstores, and you know that they have a little Chapters and Kobo kiosk there where it's a display stand. They have all their e-readers, they have all of their accessories, they have book covers, they have the Kobo Vox, and they have staff there that's trained specifically in Kobo e-readers, troubleshooting, helping you get set up, and so on. And so this sort of concept is going to be carried over to WH Smith bookstore locations. The reason why they're doing this is because a lot of the employees who work there don't really know a lot about Kobo, so they're going to be hiring people or training existing staff. So when you go and buy a Kobo e-reader now, you're not going to leave the store until it's all set up. You're registered with Kobo, all of your user information there set up, and they'll walk you through the entire process. So as soon as you get home, you can start buying books, which I think is cool, and I think other companies should take a little bit of a cue for this. If you walk into, you know, any other stores like ASDA and other companies there in London or the UK, they don't really have like an Amazon area. You know, it's mixed in with the other tablets and devices like that, and you don't really have people that are trained and specialized in it. So I think that this is an advantage that Kobo has, where they really kind of take the time to have like a rep there, and they've done these sort of things in Central Station in New York, where they've sort of set up some Kobo stands and, you know, ask questions. You have knowledgeable people there willing to give an answer. So I think that's one of the things I think that Kobo has done really well. And Barnes & Noble basically started it in all their bookstore locations, having a Nook area. And hundreds of stores are actually making this area larger by even like 100 square feet, because there's just so many Nook tablets. You know, you have the Nook Color, two versions of the Nook tablet. You have the Nook Simple Touch. You have their older devices, as well as a copious amount of official accessories, as well as accessories by third parties as well. And because a lot of money is circulating into Barnes & Noble's digital content now, that, you know, they have people standing right there with like a huge Nook sign that are trained as well to help you out. One thing that I kind of think that's very interesting about Barnes & Noble is the fact that they are doing a lot of accessories. And I mentioned a lot of things, you know, book lights, covers, screen protectors. It looks like they're getting into the audio business as well. They're going to be releasing two different versions of headphones made by a company that you may have heard of called Boyce, however you may pronounce it. $19.99 for the earbud versions and $50 for the over-the-ear versions. They're branded with the quintessential Nook, the lowercase N sign, and this will be used to work with your tablets, with your e-readers. That's the one thing that Barnes & Noble hasn't done is audio, and most of their devices, especially their tablets, have audio functionality. The speakers on them are solid, but in some cases, if you're a parent and your kid has played the same, you know, kids app 50 times in a row, you're at your wit's end and don't know what to do. So you can buy official Nook audio gear, and when you're in motion, you can sport it. And because the headphones are branded with Nook, you can kind of like, you know, let other people know what you're up to and, you know, what brand you're supporting. And I think it's kind of interesting that Barnes & Noble is more or less getting into the audio business in terms of making two different versions of headphones to run in parallel. You know, if you're Barnes & Noble, why would you encourage people to buy Apple headphones or to buy headphones in another department when they could just buy it from you? I think it's a savvy move. Finally, the last bit of news, if you are looking for an Amazon Kindle 4, this is the non-touchscreen version, but the latest generation, you can get it for $79 plus a $30 gift card. It's on sale starting April the 29th, and it'll run for 2 days. It's basically a Mother's Day promotion at Walmart. It's 6-inch e-ink pearl display, solid resolution 600 by 800, 16 levels of grayscale, as well as 2 gigs of internal memory. You can buy books directly through Amazon if you are using Wi-Fi internet access, which is what this version is. $30 gift card gets you a few books, definitely. You can probably get about 5 different books for that price, and I'm talking about the latest of best sellers. So that's about it. Of course, there's a copious amount of tablet news and all sorts of other, you know, daily news that we put up. We roughly do about 10 articles a day. So what I encourage everybody to do is to start reading our blog and to let us know if any of our articles tickle your fancy. So for goodyreader.com, my name is Michael, and everybody take care.